promise that these people would not be evicted in the rain. And as far as I could figure out, there has been no promise made. And consequently, that means that, you know, our tents are covered with tarps and things like that to keep the water off. If it is raining when they evict us, our tents are going to be, it's going to be impossible to roll up our tents and put them with our belongings or on our backpacks without them getting wet. And because of the limited amount of dryers at the facility, the chances are they'll mildew within 48 hours. And when they do finally set up their tents, they'll have to smell mildew all night long because they have to close the door of the tent to keep warm. And it's going to be pretty hard to stay warm in a wet tent. I just thought I'd add that in there. But I've written down my thoughts about a few things, and they're pretty much directed towards Robert Norse. He can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff as I read it. I get a little tendency to have a hard time talking into a microphone, so I have to write my things down that
You're
I'm thinking.
A terrible job.
Okay, here we go. One thing which really bothers me is, according to some people in and out of the shelter, that Robert Norse is wrong in what he says and does. Well, I can tell you that Robert predicted with amazing accuracy the events before they happened, and we have proof by witnesses that those events came to pass. I might add that even other activists doubted his predictions. He said we could not trust the city council or the citizens committee for the homeless to do the humanitarian thing. Can you imagine? Their name is Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the city council. Do they represent the homeless and the citizens of Santa Cruz? Well, I think Robert Norse indeed cares more for the homeless and their issues than anyone else. He spends many hours a day on these issues. He cares more than the entire Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the City Council. And I bet if you research the citizens of Santa Cruz, they would also want help for the homeless. I know that the majority of Santa Cruz citizens want help for the homeless. They have a heart and a conscience. Merry Christmas, City Council and Citizens Committee for the Homeless. I hope there's many presents under your Christmas tree, and I hope you have a nice warm place to sleep tonight, as the homeless undoubtedly won't. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year. Cheers.
Nicely put, Dan, particularly those comments about how what a wonderful guy Robert Norse is. I like that particular part of it best. Yeah, actually, we may be able to make a Happy New Year for everybody downtown and a real Merry Christmas because, as some of you may remember, Camp Quest Santa Cruz, which I talked about earlier today, and I've actually been trying to put forward this idea to numerous activists and campers, may become a real option. We have a situation I think it's time to bring this issue home to the merchants in the downtown. I mean, the merchants apparently, and you're pointing out Scott Kennedy. He certainly could use an education on this issue. Although I think he probably got an education, didn't like what he saw, and came to some different conclusions. It's kind of hard to second guess what happened there. It's time to do some protesting. It's time to do some demonstrating. It's time for some creative activity, and it's time to keep our good humor because. It's going to be a real challenge for a lot of people, not so much for me because I do have a room to stay in. I told the city council that I would be sleeping in a tent. I've slept in a tent one night. The last two nights I have not been in a tent. I've been out at the campground, kind of, you know, tramping around, talking to people, helping doing a little cleanup and working on the legal stuff. But I've been running back to my room and my computer, and so I'm. But I will be there, definitely, no question, for any busts that come down. Unless they're happening right now, in which case I'm missing them. But I'm hoping that I'm staying in constant contact so that I can go down with the ship, and we can turn into a submarine and burst out somewhere else, and perhaps we'll be soaking wet downtown. But, hey, we'll be able to bring our issues home to the public because the issue doesn't go away, really. I mean, you think, oh, it's true, you're going to, you know, you break up the community, you remove maybe some of the main people, you buy off some of the other ones, with some other kind of shelter that keeps them going. You give them some positions. You attach them to the staff of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless or some such thing, or to the Homeless Community Resource Center or something else. And you drive other people away by frightening them or making it too cold and too wet for them to handle. In essence, not so much making it cold and wet, but using the cold and the wet as a tool for dispersing them. But there's a bunch of people here who don't go away. I mean, I can tell you that, folks, from experience. I've been here for two decades on and off, and on one decade very continuously, and they may regard it as traditional, they being the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the City Council, to drive away people from winter shelter during the winter, and they expect all of us to behave and to hang in there. Dan, you left your money here on the counter.
This is a donation to your SOS activities.
Oh, no, really?
So, you know, hey, first of all, times change. You know, you can keep the peasants satisfied with, you know, butt fuckings and occasional, every one third of the corn crop for a while. But once you let them eat a few of the apples off the apple tree, they may keep wanting to eat those apples. You know, particularly if they grew them. And the situation we have here is people have been taking care of their own property. They've been trying to cooperate, acting in good faith, doing the work for the Citizens Committee to keep the campground running, and lets the Citizens Committee preen itself as being the great homeless champion. And they're getting butt-fucked for it. You know, that's the story. And all the sweet talk by Paul Marceau about how wonderful the Armory Winter Shelter is and how he's, you know, they're providing vans, and maybe they've opened up a new bay so people can put their wet stuff, and maybe they can dry their stuff off when the power is working, and all those wonderful things is not dealing with the basic reality that they are closing a campground where there is no place for a significant number of people to go for them. And that's an issue that they can't deny. They kind of fuddle it, they fiddle it, they puddle it, and they piddle it. But the reality is, it's there, and they don't give a shit. I have to say that, because keeping open the campground for another month, even in wet weather, is not an impossibility at all. The pumps are available if the area floods. The area, people could move to higher ground. If they had to, they might have to stand up and mobilize citizen support if there was a reactionary element in town that started demanding the campground be closed. But the people who are demanding the campground be closed are not the right-wingers. No, folks. The people who are demanding the campground be closed are your pals, the liberals. It's Scott Kennedy, Mr. Liberal himself, Squawk Box Scott Kennedy. It's Mayor Motormouth Mike Rotkin who is demanding the campground be closed. It is the great liberals from the West Side who are demanding the campground be closed to protect their political asses. They've gotten the student votes. They've gotten the progressive votes. They've done their revolving chair politics. And they're just throwing away that constituency because they are taking it for granted again. Well, I ask the people who support the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, those of you who have given $10, $50, $100, $1,000 to this group, what are they doing with your money? And those of you who have given your votes to Scott Kennedy, to Catherine Byers, to Celia Scott, to Jane Yokoyama, to Cynthia Matthews, to Mike Rotkin, what are they doing with your voice? What they're doing is what I'm telling you. They're driving people out into the rain because of the possibility of political embarrassment and legal liability. They're doing it because they believe, along with Susan Mariello, who is the chief administrative officer and back then was the head of HRA, as Jane Immler said, the community is not yet ready for a campground. Well, fuck the community. What about the people who live there? These are the people we have to concern ourselves with. And I'll tell you frankly, I think the community is ready. I take back what I said. I don't blame the community. The community is not making any drumbeat against this campground. It's the politicians, the gutless politicians, and the hangers-on, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, that is seeking favors from these politicians, seeking waivers, and has been getting fee waivers for years for this community house project, and doing so while waving the flag of all the poor people they're helping and taking care of. Let's get back now to the Jane Immler interview to get some more background on the situation. We need to be educated if we're to fight this effectively, But remember, we're going to need people out there when the police come, and we're going to need people after we get out of jail. After we get out of jail, we're going to assemble at City Hall to figure out what we're going to do next. We're going to need shelter for campers. We're going to need places to dry out their gear. If you've got a dryer, we're going to need that. We're going to need winter equipment. Right now, there's a pick needed for the campground because they're about to pull out the last latrine, and the last outhouse, the last porta potty, and campers are going to have to use the natural facilities of the field. I guess that means it becomes a health hazard, huh? Well, maybe that's part of the general strategy. But it's even more of a health hazard for somebody to take a dump down by the river, wouldn't you say? Because the city council, in its wisdom, is not keeping bathrooms open at night. Even though there's one sitting right next to the field, several of them, in fact, three in the Homeless Community Resource Center, they somehow can't find the resources. Call Scott Kennedy at 429-3550 and ask him to save the city the stench of having people shitting in the back 40 because he won't open up those restrooms, because he won't direct Karen Gillette or fund Karen Gillette or help Karen Gillette open up those restrooms. Call the city council. Talk to Mayor Mike Rotkin, 429-3550. You know, it's interesting. I've talked about a shit-in at city council, or perhaps downtown, as a protest against this ridiculous policy of having no public facilities at night downtown, and also here in this situation, cutting off people again who need to use a bathroom at night. What's actually happening is they're shitting on us. They're trying to let us drown in our own shit. It's incredible. I mean, the whole situation, in a word, stinks. Let's hear what Jane Immler has to say.
And, I mean, that's another instance. And here again, you know, CCH is always fundraising, and I'm not sure what they've been doing with the money. They ran the satellite shelter program. Now, is that part of CCH?
Yes.
They've run that.
But actually, they ran out of money for that. They went to the Above the Line Community Consortium to get money for the winter, the program for the summer, this last summer. And they got Kimberly Carter and the Above the Line Community Consortium to donate them, kick them down, I don't know, was it 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, something like that.
They're always running out of money. I mean, and I think there have been people, some homeless people, who have made very wise suggestions. Instead of spending all that money on vans to run people all over Santa Cruz County, why don't you just have places where people can walk to? You know, that would cut out a lot. And then you have all those salaried people. I mean, that's always been a bone of contention. So, I mean, it's unfortunately, homelessness has become a very big business for the city and county of Santa Cruz, particularly. And, you know, you've got a lot of people living off of that, off of those monies that are...
So that's the definition of a poverty pimp, somebody who lives off monies that are being given by the federal, state, and county governments, or possibly through private charities, and actually has a kind of a salaried and tenured position.
Exactly. And, you know, and if you could, the gnat's eye, that's the reason a campground has never made it in Santa Cruz, because they can't figure out
how to make money
off of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since we started all this in 85, you now have to do casework. You have to have a case file on everybody that comes into these places if they're getting any kind of federal or state money. So, and that's much more difficult to do. But I would venture to say that there's, if you could somehow figure out how to make money off of it, you'd have a campground right away.
So we got to put our thinking caps on and figure out how to feather the nests of the big fat birds, eh?
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. We see. Well, Jane, what do you think? Looks like we have 5 days or 4 days or 3 days, actually. It's Friday today. Sunday is maybe D-Day or Monday. Until the police come and attempt to remove people, if in fact Citizens Committee is willing to do that. They have in the past been willing to send in the police, so they, of course, then spread stories. is that it was the city that did it, and the city says it was the Citizens Committee, and they all throw the ball back and forth. Oh, no, it was the county health department, you know. And nobody wants to be the bad guy, but they all, of course, want to get rid of the homeless people out there. So what do you suggest people do after this happens? And people, I mean, if it does happen, it's possible we may be able to delay it. I've sought a mediation again with the Citizens Committee, suggesting that it's not going to look good in their Christmas stocking to see, you know, they're going to get coal if they turn all their, the people who they're making money off of out into the cold, you know.
Well, I think that's important, and I also think that somebody needs to, or you need to get together with Gillette and see if you can't bring her around to opening the potties at night. I mean, I'm sure that there's some kind of a solution there. And but as to what people do when they're let out of there, well, it depends on how far they're willing to go.
Well, that's a good question. We don't know how many people are going to be left, what's going on, but as right now, there are people out there. There are people staying there, even though the weather is, it's raining outside as I speak, dripping into my room. I guess for anybody listening, now is the time to mobilize, get your winter gear out to the campground still to help people, and be ready on the phone. Be ready to come on out there and witness in solidarity with people who are being arrested on Sunday or Monday, and then be ready to support people at City Hall, where I think we're going to go next. That's certainly is a place where there's a, you know, you can, we can at least regather and do a kind of a
set up your camper condos.
Yeah, set up the camper condos. We're talking about some cardboard camper condos. Maybe take them downtown. Camp Quest Santa Cruz has been considering that. Well, also, I also put out a flyer yesterday about the campground counselors. We're going to try to counsel these poverty pimps, bureaucrats, and lame politicians who can't seem to leave people alone at the campground and insist on, shall we say, washing them down the river for the winter.
Good luck.
Well, thank you. And how's your book on Paul Lee going? I understand you're writing a reply to the book, The Quality of Mercy.
Well,
is that right?
I'm a little more encouraged now that the Sentinel wrote this letter, so maybe...
And that was Jane Immler, whose activist work in the 80s still moves us here in the 90s, and who has some interesting things to say about her old chums on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which allegedly was formed initially to support her hunger fast, her demand for shelter in the winter of 1985, which was eventually successful. And if that wasn't a protest, I don't know what was. So, it looks like it may be the season for protest, folks, the season for supporting protest. If you have a home, if you have a phone, give me a call at 423-HUFF if you want to help out in this protest movement. You don't have to be out there in the rain. You don't have to be arrested by the police. You can do stuff from your house. You can assist there. We're going to need to be cooking some hot meals for people. People who are doing protests need to be kept warm. We're going to need to be providing some media support and information and getting information out. There's going to be lots of misinformation heading out over the airwaves about what we're doing. We're going to need all kinds of help. Again, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And if you're interested in commenting and joining the dialogue and discussion while this extended edition of Bathrobs Piers Broadsides goes on today, you know the number here, or if you don't, it's 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We welcome your joining us here. And until you do, we have... We'll invite a little recorded comment from the campground, which happened yesterday. Give you some of the views from the folks who are going to be out there on the front lines.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That makes us look like a bunch of blithering idiots down here. You can't even spell homeless right, and we're all out here. But no, you made us look like a blithering idiot.
December 13th, 1995. I'm here at the... at the open-air shelter, which with some illegal residents. We were told yesterday on the 12th by head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program and head of the open-air shelter, Paul Merceau, that the, 150 to 200-odd people have been reduced somewhat now. We'll have to be out of here within a couple of days. In fact, that it becomes illegal to be here from yesterday, but they won't start enforcement until
today,
I guess. So with me is Larry and Mushroomic. And, hey, you're drinking coffee this morning. How you doing? We're not having any rain this morning.
Better. I could use it right now. I need a bar of soap. They ain't got no showers.
You were talking about the difficulties of a man or a woman with a dog or a pet.
Yeah.
Can't get into the winter army shelter, right?
Right. I turned around yesterday and went. I had a friend of ours take us down there. I had three different places. I had deposit for a dog and I had 40 cash. We could not find anybody that would accept a dog. These are the same hotels, River Street there, where they turn around. They got the dealers loving them and they push shit out the doors, but they won't let a dog in there. And I have trouble with that. They turn around, they more or less told me that I'm screwed. Okay, and I do have a problem with that. Number one, I'm a disabled vet. I was in Nam. I've been homeless since 74, so when I came back, you didn't know that, did you? Yeah. And now they're throwing me out of here because I have a dog now, you know. It's like the dog didn't do nothing, okay? The dog was getting beat, and I took it and helped the dog, and now I'm screwed because I helped the animal.
That's a nice dog, we might add.
Yeah, it's a great dog. She's shithead, you know. She's a good dog. You know?
That's her name,
Shithead. Yeah, that's why he called me Shithead's dad. Bob just figured that out yesterday.
Why does he call himself
Shithead? The most responsibility and care for others always get hurt.
Screwed. That's it.
So you also mentioned that here at the campground, not only are people with pets being essentially told to take their dogs down the road or kill them or let them wander loose or whatever.
If they wander loose, they're going to be killed. Nobody's going to adopt them. Most of them are mutts. Mine's purebred. There's another purebred. Most of them are mutts. And the mutts will probably not be picked up. And if they're not picked up, they will be destroyed. Probably my dog, too, because California has such a bad rap on pit bulls.
Shower
speak. We're hoping. We're hoping hard. I'm needing it.
Electricity is on.
It
should be.
Not yet. It ain't. We ain't got the outside light on yet.
So at the campground, of course, the major power problems on the...
It's on there and over there.
The stuff resulting from the rain of December 11th and 12th has made the power problematic here.
Is they open yet?
Folks are waking up. It's around 7
Should
o'clock
be.
In the morning here at the campground. So how many people do we estimate we have here this morning? Any estimates here? Or?
The dialogue, just about all it's here.
Now, are people, I guess you were talking about the problems before, about folks who have mental problems or other problems taking care of themselves who are being ignored and left out of the system, such as you mentioned Stefan Mishrumek, you mentioned that, and you did too, Larry. What's the story with Stefan? Give us a quick summary. And you say that this has been brought to the attention of Paul, the health nurse, brought to the attention of Paul, the head of the shelter project.
Stefan was a tank commander who had been hit, disabled with the war. He turned around, he had problems after that. He's got a plate in his head. His equilibrium is shot.
Seizures.
He needs a cane. And the man's living down here, and nobody really gives a shit, and he's down here. We've tried to make some of the best we could for him, but Stefan's like us. He doesn't believe in what's happening. And nobody's even offering to help the man. And it's a goddamn shame. He's a great guy.
So hundreds of thousands of dollars are being spent on this program.
Nobody's getting nothing. The only ones that are getting anything are the ones that want to turn around and to quote an old phrase from Rolling Stones, they got them under their thumb, you know. They can make them do what they want. You know? I've never been one to make do anything. You make me do it, I'm going to do the opposite. That's all there is to it. I've not fight authority. Always question them because these idiots don't.
It's
know
a little
what
too independent for their taste, exactly.
I'm going to head over to Mosh.
Thank you,
Robert. Stop over for coffee.
Thank you, Larry. So,
with Stefan,
a long-time resident. Can you talk about Stefan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday because the electricity was out, and Stefan's stuff is all soaking wet. You would think that that would help allow him to get in one of these programs or something like that.
Meaning like a church program or the armory?
Or the armory,
it's
right.
It's normally a walk-up deal. You walk up and you say, I want to be in it, and they put you on the bus, right?
Right. It's that easy to do that.
Have the monitors decided against that?
Yeah, as far as I see and as far as I know, I'd gone up to the monitor myself last night and the driver and mentioned to him about taking Stefan. They said, well, you're going to have to go talk to somebody else. I said, well, how about you talking to him? Because I don't get along with that other person very well. Mm-hmm. And they said they'll try to take care of it.
And they didn't.
Well, maybe they did try, and that's all what happened anyway. I mean, it's too early in the morning to start
walking around
blaming anybody. Yeah, he's laying down soaking wet and soaking wet sleeping bags. And, you know, he could have went the night before, but they wouldn't take him. And last night, they wouldn't take him. And it's like, well, I think we've got a problem here. And I don't think it's him wanting to stay here is the problem, like everybody else who does want to stay here. And a lot of them who've gone through ruining their tents and this and that have rebuilt and do want to stay here, and a lot of the tents are back up with people in them.
Because there was this major storm a couple of nights ago which leveled a number of tents and soaked a number of others, right?
Right. 60 to 80 mile an hour winds is pretty hard on tents that have been up and down all summer long, breaking poles and putting holes in the tent itself, because putting it up and taking it down twice a day is a little difficult to deal with myself. I couldn't get any work done. I couldn't find stuff. I was losing my meds.
You're
I was losing
about
my paperwork
in the summer,
early in the summer.
In this program, there was, in fact, an edict by the city and by the management of the open air shelter, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, that people had to strike their tents during the day unless they were staff members, right?
Right. And after that changed, which took almost the whole summer, then me and a few people started doing a lot of work out here on stone and carving stuff and trying to make a few bucks here and there. But I'll tell you what, we're up. It was more feeling of a little bit of a home. I mean, you know, when you look at four walls that aren't even 5 feet around and call it home, that's hard, because even prisons are bigger than that. So it's kind of sad that people are happy with this, and people don't deserve this, but people want this. I mean, they deserve a lot better. And now, it's a shame.
The man closing down the program, who made that decision, is named Paul Marceau. He originally agreed to negotiate with the people at the campground after giving them, as I understand, until January 1st, or 10 days after the permit was granted for Community House, the trailer project that Citizens Committee for the Homeless wants to use to replace this program in the spring, which will house 48 compared to the 200-odd people who are here now. I believe, of course, it's a ridiculous idea, and others here oppose it, and others in the community oppose it.